It's very unusual. If you look at the scripture lessons, you might have thought it was a misprint at first. You look at the epistle lesson at the beginning, it was 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 5. Now you look at the gospel lesson, it's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. But that's no misprint. We're going to read, for our gospel lesson, we're going to read the first five verses of the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. So as I read these words, you know, just listen for something that's being spoken into your life and your heart at this point on your faith journey. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, we all know that the secular year begins January, very good. January 1st, and it has for about the last 500 years. And we all know that the church year begins, a little bit sneakier, the first Sunday of Advent, which either falls at the end of November or the beginning of December. Great. But did you know, of course you did because I already told you, that the Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church year begins Next Saturday, which is July 1. So Wednesday evening, at a meeting called a church conference, etc., we will elect church officers to lead us in ministry for the next 12 months. We will talk ministry budgets and how we're going to fund the important work of this community of faith over the course of the next year. So you can have January 1. You can have that. July is where it's happening. July 1 is where life is happening around here. Okay. Well, in preparation for this annual transition, I try to spend time, a significant amount of time, reflecting on my ministry. And specifically how I can assist this community of faith, this congregation, as we strive together to live out our mission to be the body of Christ in the world. So this past week, that's exactly what I did. We always go away in June, and while I'm away, I'm always doing a lot of reading and thinking and contemplating about our ministry together. But we only have a few minutes this morning, so I'll share a few of my thoughts with you today, but we'll talk more about it over the course of the summer and into the fall. Okay, to get us going, I want you to think back. I want you to think way, way back. I want you to think back to the early days of your life. I'll give you a minute. Okay, think back. Specifically, I want you to think back to those early summer evenings of your childhood. What do you remember about those early days? You remember, let me ask you this. Are they lightning bugs or are they fireflies? Lightning bugs. Ooh. Fireflies. Okay, where are you from? Pennsylvania, Ohio. Yeah, okay, I got it. Okay, lightning bugs. You remember those days you chased lightning bugs? Do you remember spitting watermelon seeds? What? But do you? Yeah. But do you remember when watermelons had seeds? Okay, kids. Okay, listen up. Okay. Do you remember charcoal grills? Now they're kind of making a comeback. That's what we have. How about the smell of lighter fluid? Now you're not supposed to. Okay. Okay, anyway, smell it. Anyway, do you remember running around without shoes outside? Okay, some of you did. Okay, how about this? Do you remember games? Not video games. Do you remember that? Those games you played outside during the summer without electronic enhancement. Okay, can you remember those games? Let's do a little inventory here. Can you name an outdoor summertime game? Okay, we're going to need one at a time here. What'd you say? Yes. Kick the bucket. That's a really dangerous game, kicking the bucket. Is that the same as kick the can? Okay. An earlier version. Okay. 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 Kevin. Capture. Everybody play capture the flag? Okay, good. Tag. How about tag? Yes.
Manhunt.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds serious. Okay. Okay, yeah. Kick the can, tag. And that was all types of game. Tag was freeze tag. We won't get into all that. I'm trying to think of others. Any others? Hide and seek. What? Red Rover. Is that where you run over, you tack the line, and you try to... Okay. We better stop right there. Okay. How about sardines? Okay. Okay. Anyway, the ritual was the same. From mid-June to September. In Virginia, where I was raised, school didn't start till after Labor Day. So you always got till the beginning of September. So anyway, basically from the time you got out of school, which was mid-June then, until Labor Day, you were outside. You're outside playing all these things. And this was before year-round school. And, you know, we have a kid in year-round school now. So that kind of limits things. But we would just spend marvelous, marvelous days and evenings outside. And we'd play all these games. We'd come in for dinner. And then it was right back out to continue the routine. Play, 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 play. Until it got dark. Until it got dark. That infernal darkness ruined everything. Unless you played flashlight tag, but that was something. They were games you just played and played. And then the darkness would come, and it was the end of the playing. I've shared excerpts from her books many times, but Barbara Brown Taylor has a trio of books, Altering the World, Leaving Church, and Learning to Walk in the Dark. And Learning to Walk in the Dark, it's a great title. She opens with these words to that book. Come inside now, it's getting dark. That's a great opening to a book. You only have to read those six words. You already found some good stuff. Come on now. Come on in now. It's getting dark. And like her other work, this book is about life and faith and church and what a mess all of these can be. Oh, man. It's gotten dark. It's gotten dark out here. And we are having so much fun. We have to go in now. Didn't you hear the call? Come inside now. It's getting dark. Taylor describes it this way. She says, the dangerousness of the dark was like the law of gravity. No one could say exactly how it worked, but everyone agreed on it. When night fell, children were gathered inside. Front porch lights were switched on, curtains were drawn, and doors were locked. I love that. I remember that. Taylor reminds us that so much of our church language and imagery is grounded in this dichotomy of light and darkness. And with such language comes the assumption of value. Light and darkness, good and evil. Light is good. Darkness is evil. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Church and faith are about light. That's what we're taught. Get out of the dark, folks. Come in where it's light and safe, and everything will be all right. Taylor calls it full solar spirituality. And she says you can recognize a church as a full solar church by its, quote, emphasis on the benefits of faith, which include a sure sense of God's presence, certainty of belief, divine guidance in all things, and reliable answers to prayer. Members strive to be positive in attitude, firm in conviction, helpful in relationship, and unwavering in faith. The light is where God is. And in such a full solar theological system, the light of God is where life is always good, always joyous, always abundant, and it's where we need to be, where we should be, where we deserve to be. Okay, quiz time. And this is how the quiz is going to work today. I will quote a line from a movie, okay? And then you're going to guess what movie it is, okay? It's pretty straightforward. There are only three of them. So it's not going to take very long. Okay. Number three. Hello, boys, I'm back. That's it. That was the answer. Independence Day. Independence Day. I don't know, maybe it's, is that a multi, is that Randy Quaid? Okay, forget it. Okay, second, they're back. Poltergeist. Two. Okay, finally. Can you just guess what it's going to be? I'll be Bach. Well, which one? The original. Very good, very good. Okay. I've been thinking about these particular lines because it's good to be back. It is good to be back. It's good to be back with you from a week at the beach. And thanks to our beloved bishop, it's good to be back with you for another year. On June 18th, last Sunday, I know we're hearing some boos here, but I was reappointed to Pleasant Grove for another year. In fact, you better hold on. In fact, today is my anniversary Sunday at Pleasant Grove. It was June 27th, so not quite, 1993. Wow. Alana's and my first Sunday with you. So I want to thank you for putting up with us for 24 years. My gosh. And I want to thank you for something else. I want to thank you for disabusing me of my many preconceived ideas of the way the universe works. And I was very young. I was like 18 when I got here. For example, when I arrived here 24 years ago, I too thought the goal of the church was to offer light. Was to offer light in this world that would help vanquish the darkness that threatens it. I thought that's what we did. Full solar spirituality. But that was then. And this is now. Since that time, I have seen too much. I have shared too much. I have been through too much with you to make such a statement. Friends, life is hard. Life is hard. Sure, plenty of light shines over the course of our lives, but darkness gets more than its fair share. What I now realize in an all too familiar way is that we are all just broken people. Some a little more broken than others, who come to this place, to this community, week after week, year after year, not to find the light. That's not why we come here. Rather, we gather together to learn to walk in the dark. That's what we do here, and that's why what we do here is so vitally important. We do not call people in from the darkness. No, we join them in the darkness. And together we find ways to illumine the path before us. So 2 weeks from tonight, 7 o'clock, I've mentioned this many times, we're gathering as a community to consider a proposal from the Ad Council, the building, all that group. This proposal has been years in the making. We've had congregational assessment after congregational assessment. We've had congregational surveys. We've tried to view the work and ministry of this church from every possible angle. So the proposal before us really began to be formulated 10 years ago. I went back and looked at this. On October 3rd, 2006, that's really 11 years ago, as we prepared to host Dr. Lovett Weems from the Lewis Center for Church Leadership up in Wesley Seminary, I sent the following note to Dr. Weems on that day. Dear Dr. Weems, attached to this letter is the information that you requested. If there's any additional information that you need, please let me know. We had our first team meeting on Sunday afternoon. It was a wonderful experience. Our folks are ready for action. They're ready to dream. They're ready to be led into new and vital ministry. The team is composed of 21 individuals, 11 men and 10 women. They range in church tenure from 1 year to 45 years. 7 are single. 2 of the single folks are widowed. These folks have a combined 17 children under the age of 18. From my best estimate, the team members have at least 6 different religious traditions or no religious tradition accounted for in their background. They range in age from mid-20s to 80s. It's quite the team, and they're all excited about your visit with us on November 4. Now, it was this gathering on November 4, 2006, that led directly to the adoption of our mission statement and our vision statement and our core values. And we talk about our mission, our vision statement all the time, so I won't mention that now. But did you know we have core values here at Pleasant Grove? We have 5 core values that we claimed 10 years ago. Here they are. 1 is acceptance. We said then that we value radical hospitality. 2, outreach. We said we value compassion. 3, community. We said that we value our unity, our common unity, even within our diversity. 4, spirituality. We said that we value the journey of faith, both the collective journey and the individual journey. And 5, engagement. We said that we value the faithful stewardship of our lives, summarized as time, talents, gifts, and service. That's a noble list, okay? And we said that there was one more meta value, a value above all the other values, the value that guides the manifestation of Christ in this place, and that value was love. That simple. Friends, churches, United Methodist churches, are closing at an alarming rate. And it's not just Methodist churches that are closing, it's all type of churches. And most of those that aren't closing are on the, that find their existence very tenuous at best. At Pleasant Grove, we want to share God's grace. That's what we want to do. We want to bind up the broken. We want to welcome the stranger and those left behind. We want to reach out and throw our arms around the world and this community with the presence of Christ. That's what we want to do. So we believe the world needs Pleasant Grove-type churches. Okay. So as you will see 2 weeks from tonight, the proposal is made to improve the facilities that have been entrusted to our care. Every generation since the first building was built on this spot has made sacrifices to leave the place better than it found it. Okay, and we've talked about, you've heard the story, 1903, first sanctuary, 1940s classrooms, 1950s fellowship hall, 1960s new and up this sanctuary, 1990 new education building, fellowship hall and preschool, 2000s a Heider house across the street, more park and adult science class. 2017, our turn. Our turn. You know, we're not remodeling for remodeling's sake. That's not what we're remodeling to enhance the facility in an attempt to enhance our ministry. That's what we're doing. We're enhancing the ministry to this church so that we might be a place where the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not permitted to overcome us. So I want to thank you, first of all, for putting up with Alana for 24 years and teaching me how to find light and life in the midst of great darkness. You are needed in this world. This community is needed in this world. So I will see you at the church conference in 2 weeks. Thanks be to God. Amen.